And so we begin. I want to talk today. You know that song when you look at the old Sesame Street song. One of these things is not. You don't have Sesame Street when you grew up. Is anybody? You know what I'm talking about? You know. So when you look at a list, the whole thing, right? You don't know Sesame Street? None for you?
Oh my goodness.
Okay. Well,
and they're still
life goes on.
Adults.
So when you look, I want to play that game with the makot. With the makot. We have in Parshat Bo, we have three makot. Makot, Arba, Choshech, and Makot Bechorah. Those are the ones we're left with. But even if you look at all 10 makot, we'll play this game. But the game is one of these things does not belong, and they have like four boxes. And the four boxes, three kids are jumping rope, and one is in a hula hoop. And the idea is to try to figure out which one doesn't fit. And I always knew it was the hula hoop guy. Whatever. Okay. So,
I always look for like a different color shirt. I'm jump roper.
So if we look at the makot, all of the makot, one of them really to me stands out. And I'll give you a hint since I'm trying to direct.
Other
makot b'chorot that stands out. Arba choshech makot b'chorot. One of them really stands out to me that I want to discuss today. That's hard for us to understand. That doesn't make so much sense. That if you look at it, you say, what in the world is this makot? And so it is. Choshech. Why Choshech?
It affected everybody.
No, what do you mean?
It was dark everywhere.
It was dark everywhere, well, except for the Jews. Didn't affect the Jews. No darkness for the Jews. Why does Choshech bother me? I always ask it in these terms, because that way, like, there's no right or wrong answer. Like, why does it bother me? So I can give you my answer.
No, then there is only one right.
There is only one. Well, that's true. Right. Why does Choshech bother? I'll just tell you true. What's the big deal? Oh, you're scared of that. What's the big deal? Meaning, okay, Arbe.
Because it's a very thick darkness.
And therefore?
The Midrash.
I don't know where that's going to end.
We're going to talk about the Midrash. We're going to talk about the Midrash. But it's like, Barad, right? Hail! It destroyed the crops.
To answer,
Arbe, it destroyed the crops. Kinim, it would have,
it had an impact.
Yeah, you know, Shechin boils. Choshech is the worst. Really?
Because I don't know where that's going to end.
What was the lasting damage? What happened? Everything else, like you finished the plague.
Ooh, yeah.
I read something on this. I don't remember.
Well, don't give my. Hopefully, you're not going to give the end of my shiir at the beginning. But go ahead. That's always a danger. No, go ahead. You want to save it, and then you save it at the end, and we'll see if it's. You mean no? Go ahead. I can risk it. I'm brave.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it never made sense to me. You know, Choshech. Before.
See, she played the game, right?
When I read this, it just all made sense. Like, why couldn't they move from darkness? What's the
Don't say it. You're going to go. Stop. We'll get there. Yeah. Now you're getting me nervous. Okay, so we first have to... The key to the shiur isn't just to give the answer. It's how you get there. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Definitely. That's like the worst. Like, does anybody know? And somebody says, well, I heard it was blah, blah, blah. Okay, let's all go home now. You know? Okay. Turn to Perek Yud, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. And we'll see, by the way, and just in order to really understand it, we have to look at it in the context and the structure of other plagues. So they come in sets of three. And when you do some kind of textual analysis on the plagues, I can't imagine under what context you would do such textual analysis. Yeah, right. When you do textual analysis on the plagues, you'll notice that they come in sets of three. Dan Tvede Akinim, Arod Devashchin, Makad Arab Choshech, Makad Barad Arab Choshech, and each one textually, they match. You know, in the beginning of each one, the beginning of the first three, Hashem comes. Am I giving away your whole shiur?
Yes.
I'll stop there. Okay, but no, you have to do it inside to see. You know, yeah. Hashem says, Moshe, go to Aaron. And they say, like, look in each one. In the third of each one, there is no warning. You look at the third one. Kinim, Shchin, Choshech, there's no warning. Right. And if you think, by the way, when it says, Rabbi Yehuda HaYano, Tein Behem Simanim, in the Haggadah, what are the Simanim? Ditzach, Adash, V'achab. It's not by coincidence he divides it into three. Like each one, there's a series, and they get progressively worse. So if that's true, it's right, so they have Kinim, is a punishment. How is it a punishment? If you think about it this way, the dam affects. No, dam affects. Affects the country. Svardea affects the country. Kinim, the body. Arov,
the land.
Land. Dever, the animals. Shchin, body. Barad, land. Arbe, land. Choshech, the body. And it's getting, you should make a square, and you'll see it gets increasingly worse each time. So somehow we're left to believe then, if this is true, lice, itchy. Right? Annoying. Okay? Well, I'm sorry. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? Just so you know, by the way, that for most people throughout most of history, lice was just a fact of life. It's just people got lice all the time. They just always had lice. Okay?
We're very clean today.
Yeah, we're unbelievably clean today. Okay? Boils. So you go from itchy, then to boils, and then darkness. What's the darkness? So you have to read it. That's why we understand now, Perek Yud, Pasuk HaBalek. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Neteh Yarcha al HaShemayim, Vihi Choshech al Eretz Mitzrayim, V'yamesh Choshech. Right? Where's the warning? Bo el Paro, V'yamarta Eilav. It's going to be dark, and you're going to hate it, and everyone's going to suffer. There's none of that. There's no Bo el Paro. There's no warning. Right? There's no, and you're going to really hate this, and you're going to beg me to make you leave. Just, God says to Moshe, stretch out your yadcha. I'm just pointing out, by the way, usually Moshe doesn't use his hand. What does he use? His mateh. There it's his hand. Mefarshim talk about it. We're not going to go into it. V'hi choshech al eretz Mitzrayim, and there shall be darkness on the land of Egypt. V'yamesh choshech. Yamesh.
Continue.
What's that?
Feel.
Feel, right? Mamashut. It will be palpable. It will be palpable darkness. What?
Good word.
The English or the Hebrew? Thank you. Okay. Vayet Moshe et yado al hashamayim. Moshe, he outstretched his hand over the sky. Vayehi choshech afeila b'chol eret Mitzrayim shaloshet yamim. And there was a choshech, a darkness of afeila.
Thick.
Interesting. Well, are you just saying that? Or you're,
no.
Okay.
Thick.
A thick darkness. What is afeila? Me'afeila le'ora, mishibu le'gula. What is afeila?
Dark.
So what did, just understand, what did Rabbi Squirrel do for you there?
Thick darkness.
Right, because what's the real meaning of the word?
Darkness.
There was a dark darkness. Right, what's the problem with that? What?
Not
it doesn't say anything. There was a dark darkness, thank you. You're saying it wasn't light? You want to move that? You can move the chair if you want.
Tautology.
Okay.
It says light and darkness which may be felt.
Why does he say that? Again, all of them are saying that, but I just like to point out sometimes when we're studying the text, the word doesn't mean a felt darkness. It means a dark darkness. But the Mefarshim are trying to understand, why does it use two words? Does it mean the same thing? So they're saying, no, one is dark, one is in terms of lack of light, and one is in terms of afeila. Okay? Whatever that means. Thickness. We're going to have to try to understand what that means.
They said it with Abraham.
We'll get there. What does it say? It doesn't use the word afeila? Another word? We'll get there.
Chashecha
gdola.
There wasn't afeila.
Nope. I looked.
I'll trust you.
I looked. And you can look it up if you want, but don't lose my place. Okay. Lo ra'u ish et achiv, v'lo kamu ish mitachtav shloshet yamin. Right? The person didn't see his brother. V'lo kamu ish mitachtav. Again, translate for me. They did not stand up. Mitachtav. Mitachtav. From his tachat. Yeah, you know what I mean? Right. Okay.
What?
It's a very weird way of saying it, isn't it? Lo kamu ish mitachtav. From his...
Almost like they were glued to their position.
Shloshet yamim, 3 days.
Didn't they die?
What?
Don't you have to drink and eat?
3 days?
Yeah, how long do you...
How long could you last without food and water? Anybody here?
Without water, 3 days.
You won't die, you'll survive.
Water,
3 days you can
days,
go.
So
yeah.
No longer, but water.
Okay. Well, l'chol b'nei Yisrael, haya or b'moshevotam. And for all the b'nei Yisrael, it was light, b'moshevotam, in their dwellings. Was that right?
Yes.
Thank you. Vayikra paro el Hashem. El Moshe. And how do I know it must have been really bad? It must have been bad because Paro called Moshe. Vayikra Paro el Moshe vayomer, l'chu ivdu et Hashem. Go worship God. Rak tzonchem ubakarchem yutza gam tabchem yalechimachem. All right, just leave your tzon ubakar, right? To even take your children. Like every time it's one step. Like Pharaoh says, go, leave the children. Moshe says, what, you crazy? Then Pharaoh says, go, take your children. Just leave the sheep and cattle. And what does Moshe say? By the way,
it doesn't really work.
Don't get me wrong, but...
It's a power play.
Yeah, it's a power play. Go, leave. Moshe says, no. Moshe is now he's rubbing in his face. He says, no, we're going to go without animals to sacrifice? We're not leaving. Are you kidding? We're not leaving like that. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu basically says to Paro, we're leaving when we say we'll leave on the terms that we decide. Meaning, Paro's looking at least to save face. I let him go, but we got the cattle. And Moshe's saying, I'm not even going to give you that. To which Paro says, lo tisha'er parsa. We're not leaving anything. Lo tisha'er parsa. No, we're not leaving a hoof in this stinking country. Ki mimenu nikach la'avod Hashem lakeinu. We're going to take it to worship God. Va'anachnu lo neida ma'anavod Hashem adbon Hashem. Who knows what we'll need? Maybe we'll need the kitchen sink, and we're taking that too. You know, like. Va'yichazek Hashem alei paro v'lo aval ha'shacham. So Paro didn't want to send them out. Va'yomer lo paro lech me'alai. Get away. Get out of here. Hishamu lecha al tosef ro'ot panai. Don't see, you may never see my face again. The day you see my face, you will die. It's interesting. I just noticed here. And by the way,
he doesn't say,
Moshe says,
I don't
want
to see your face.
You will die. Moshe says, Kain dibarta. You got it. You are correct, sir. Lo osif od ro'od panecha. I will never see you again. It's like the rhetoric is ratcheting up. You know what I'm saying? Paro says, okay, go, take it everything, just leave the cattle. Moshe says, no, we're taking everything. And Paro says, get out of my face.
Literally.
I don't want to see your face again. You see my face again, you'll die. And Moshe says, oh yeah, big man, you got that right. I'll never see your face again. It's like, right. very strong. What strikes me very interestingly is Paro's mood. You almost never see moodiness in Paro. Right? Send them out. Please send them out. I want to send them out. You don't see him angry.
It's like the last straw.
Yeah. Last straw. Really? What brought him to the last straw? Is Moshe bringing him to the last straw?
Choshek
is bringing him to the last straw. What was so bad about Choshek? Okay, 3 days and 3 nights without food. I know, you're like biting at the topic of the bit. I'm sure it's the same thing. 3 days and... What?
His sugar level.
Sugar level, right. Where's Arlen? Bad nutrition, right? He hasn't, hasn't been taking care of himself.
Dehydrated.
Just so you know. Just so you know. Rav Hirsch does allude to that. He notes the fact that the 3 days without the food and the water. No, your Maria's upstairs. Maria brought, is that Maria? Oh, she's here? 3 days without.
Two of them together.
What, are they having a party over there? Unbelievable. Okay. 3 days without 3 days without food and water. 3 days without food. The 3 days without food and water is a punishment. They fasted for 3 days.
Blood clots.
Really? Now you're driving yourself. So first, obviously, I'm going to go to the Mefarshim. I'm going to the Mefarshim. The Mefarshim are struck by exactly this, and I'm going to start with the Midrashim, because that's where I like to start. Okay. The Midrashim. Explicitly, they don't explicitly, but they implicitly ask this question. What in the world is Choshech about? Why does Kadosh Baruch Hu bring Choshech? And their answers, I find, are striking. You've heard their answers, and we're going to see them in Rashi, but they're uniquely troubling. They're troubling for ourselves, and also troubling for the Makkah itself. Okay. First answer of the Midrash is an answer you've all heard, I think. Yitbarach Shemo Shemelech Malchei HaMelachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The great Lord, O God, blessed be He. She'en lefana meso panim, uchoker lev ubochen klayot. God, there is no injustice before Him, and He knows the hearts of all men. Nefishayu biYisrael poshim. There were sinful Jews. Shehayu lahem patronim. Patronim, patrons. What were the Jewish patrons? There were Jews who were in powerful positions in Egypt. Meaning, how do you control a nation of Jews? Right, some of them you give plum jobs, okay? Very much like the Holocaust. Yeah, very much. But I think the Holocaust is different because the Midrash describes the patrons as powerful and influential in the Holocaust from what we know, from the movies that we've seen. It's basically, I'll kill you and I'll kill you less. You know what I'm saying? There was nobody no Jews who really enjoyed any kind of prominent positions. It was just, I won't kill you right this second as opposed to I'll kill you now. Okay?
Is that talking about the
Shotrim? So the Midrash says, osher v'chavod. They had wealth and prominence. V'lo hayirotzim latzeit mimitzrayim. So they don't want to leave Egypt. Ah, so good. I just did this in the Ema Banim Sinai class.
I was going to say, oh. Ema Banim Sinai talks about how the
you didn't hear anything. I know, Oprah was on. Right, okay.
He talks about with the Rothschild. What? With the Baron Rothschild. Oh. And he says that the...
Well, you're thinking later. In the part,
now, the
thing part that we just read, if you're so inclined, I didn't put up the shir yet, but the part that we just read was unbelievably harsh. About Jews who don't want to leave their galut because they're too comfortable and life is too good for them.
But now the Jewish lobby is less powerful than the Muslim lobby.
Oh, that's not even true. That's not remotely true. In America? Not even close. Not even close. Not yet. Not even close.
In England, that's true.
Really? In America, thank God, still, the Israel lobby is extremely powerful. But anyway, he says they had wealth and they had power. They didn't want to leave Egypt. Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says God. If I bring a plague upon them in public and they die, Yomru Mitzrayim, the Egyptians will say, Kishem she'avar aleinu, kach avar aleihem. Oh, see, that happened to us, that happened to them. Lefikach hevi'a Mitzrayim et hachoshech shloshet yamim. Therefore, the Egyptians had darkness for 3 days. Kadesh yu kovrim meitehem, so the Jews would bury their dead. And the haters, the Egyptians, would not see them. And the Bnei Israel were praising God for this. Now,
why don't they just leave?
Between you and me, I find this unbelievably troubling for many, many different reasons. Right? But we all go on this. We all go on it. We take this as an assumption. Okay? How many, what percentage of the Jews do we say died in Choshech? Anybody know? What?
What do you mean?
How many Jews died during the Choshech? None.
No. Jews died in
the Choshech. I just read you the Midrash. Why was there darkness? You never heard this before? This is like, this is explicit. No.
80%.
Right. Yeah, why is there darkness? Why is there a plague of darkness, says the Midrash? Because God wanted to kill the Jews, and he didn't want the Egyptians to know about it. So during the time that the Choshech happened, and the Egyptians were like, whatever, the Jews died out. A lot of Jews died out, and the Jews buried their dead, and that way the Egyptians wouldn't know about it and think, oh, just God like punishes us, he punishes you too.
You're saying 80% of them did not want to leave?
Hold on. How do I know this form? What do I know this form? Anybody know? Right. The Torah says, in Parashat Bishalach, next week, it says, a very famous pasuk, Bnei Israel left Egypt, V'chamushim alu Bnei Israel me'aretz Mitzrayim. V'chamushim. So Rashi says, normally the Chamushim means they left armed. The Midrash says, though, no. One second. Davar Acher Chamushim Mechumashim. Divide into fifths. Echad Mechamisha Yatzu. This is Rashi. One fifth left. V'arba Chalakim Meitu V'shloshet Yemei Afela. Four fifths died in the 3 days of... Afela.
So imagine, first of all, how large a nation it was, because the 600,000 men left, then it was...
What's that? One second. Not everybody left. If 2 million people survived, 600,000 men, how many women and children? So let's assume there were 3 million. Multiply that times 5. There were 15 million, and 12 million of them died in the Choshech.
That's a lot.
You're talking about a plague, a
210 years. How many years?
Okay. You're asking questions that we're not going to address today. Excellent question. But this idea of a Chamushim, now I'm going to read you even, well, if that's six at a time, you could do it. In 200 years? Do the math. Okay. But Yesh Omrim, by the way, some say, Echad Mechamishim. No, it's not one out of, this will really blow your mind, not one out of five died.
Went out.
Not one out of five survived. One out of 50. The Yesh Omrim, Echad Mechamesh Meot. Now the numbers got out of hand. 1 out of 500. which means 0.2% of the Jews survived.
Yeah, but they would never manage to bury them.
Right. Okay, and the Midrash argues about it. Fine. But the Midrash says, Habudah, how is it possible? How could I? That's exactly what the Midrash says. Six said at one time, but how did you say, like, it's impossible? Okay, whatever. The Midrash discusses the logistical challenges of multiplying at that point. Nonetheless, though, it's taken as Midrashic truth. I mean, taken as absolute truth, according to people who follow the Midrash, that without a doubt, 80% of the Jews died of Choshech. So therefore, it doesn't make sense. And let me ask you this question.
And then when the Choshech
ends... All of a sudden, bling, 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 the lights go on, the Egyptians start moving around, and like...
Where's
the Jews? What happened to all the Jews? Where'd they go? I don't know. I don't have answers to that question.
And how do they physically bury so few, bury so many?
Excellent question. Oh, okay, I told you. I had problems with this understanding. But this is... This is new to you. This is classic. Yeah. This is classic stuff. Okay, now, but let's talk about the Midrash for a second. What's the notion of the Jews dying in the darkness? Let's think about it in a metaphysical.
It's the aura of Torah.
Okay, and Jews dying out in the darkness.
They stop believing in the...
When God brings redemption, this we're going back to Emma Van Ismecha, it's also a very important theme. When God brings redemption, what percentage of the Jewish people really want the redemption? What? What's that?
20%.
About 20%. You know, the Jews slaves? Sure. But we'll take the slavery we know over the redemption we don't. Oh, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. You know, things are not bad here. This is exactly what the Midrash says. Hayalehem patronim, v'ayasham osher v'chavod. They had wealth and they had power. And the Jews said, why would I want to give up the wealth and power I have to be a shmendrik over there? Is that familiar?
Nothing's changed.
That's the truth. So whether you accept the Midrash, what?
It says institutionalization. But the slaves, so those
of us,
rather the slavery
we know. Oh, yeah.
Right.
And even those 20% weren't accepting.
Right. And even the 20% found it hard. I mean, we like to think, and I think this is an important shift in perspective, we like to think that Yetziat Mitzrayim was easy. And it was by no means easy for the people who left. It was extremely challenging to leave, to reject everything you know, and to say, this new world that I'm promised, it's a leap of faith. And there are many, many allusions to the leap of faith throughout the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim.
Even later, when they say, "Oh, we had it so good in Mitzrayim," why can't we go back to Mitzrayim?
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Oh, I'll come to that.
All right.
Makes me think of times of Mashiach.
Yeah. What? Don't make you think. This is what makes you think. I say this all the time. People think Mashiach comes, the Jews are going to come to...
It's going to be wars. It's going to be horrible. Most of us are going to die. Probably 20% will be left.
Well, I don't think about it in that morbid sense.
Yeah.
No, don't get me started on Tchiyat HaMeitim either. That's not as great as it... Well, we've spoken about that. We spoke about it a few weeks ago with Yosef and Yaakov. You know, and
bones.
The bones, right. And not everybody gets there. I like to scare people. Okay. But what makes you think they're going to want to come? Meaning, why do you think the people are going to want to come? Meaning, like at some point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, Mashiach is coming, I want you all to come. And a lot of people say, okay. But a lot more say, you know, I'm not really want to come. And then there's the darkness. And after, and in the time of the darkness, you can't come.
Why couldn't
during Choshech?
Yeah.
No, that's not that they couldn't, that they didn't. Why didn't God tell the Jewish people to leave during Choshech? It's very obvious why they didn't want to. We're not sneaking out. Right. We are going to show that we are going when we want to go, as we want to go. Plus the whole agenda was to drown all the Egyptians in the Yamsuf. So you can't do that if they're all stuck in the middle of the darkness. This Midrash is, you know, I'm going to read you this Midrash, okay? We're going to see it another time. Next. There's another reason. Davar acher. B'shloshet yimei afeila. During the 3 days of darkness, hayu Yisrael nichnasim letoch bateihem shel Mitzrayim. Remember, it was only dark for the Jews, for the Egyptians, not for the Jews. So the Jews went into the houses of the Egyptians. V'hayu ro'in b'ham klei kesef uklei zahav and usmalo. They did their scouting. What?
It says where they lived.
No, the Midrash says incorrect. The
Midrash says going in with candles that will give them
light. Right. The Midrash says that the Jews came in with their flash. Right. But the Midrash says the Jews came in with their flashlights. Plug that. Okay. The Jews came in with their flashlights, and they could see. I mean, it was like, when your kids come home from Gan and they say that if they have a straw and the Egyptian was drinking from the straw, he got blood, and the Jew was drinking from the straw. Same thing about the Midrash says about the darkness. I can see and you can't. So the Jews came into their houses and they saw all the gold and all the silver and all the nice clothes. Okay. Hadahu dichtiv. Here we go.
Looting.
It says, no, they didn't loot. Ulchol b'nei Yisrael haya or b'moshvotam. They could see b'moshvotam. In whose place of living? In the Egyptians' place of living. Shebechol makom haya Yehudi nichnas. Every place that the Jew would come in, haya or nichnas u'meir lo.
It was like
a special light would come in and show him ma shebechaviyot. Well, what's in that barrel? U'betevot, u'bemaniot. That drawer, you know what I'm saying? Ding, ding, ding. He would know. Okay? And then, when God said, Vayishalu ish miyeit ve'eu, they would, when they, God said, after the Choshech, God said, okay, we're gonna go. I want all the Jews to go and ask their Egyptians for the nice stuff. God did say that, that's explicit. Go ask for the wealth of Egypt. Well, of course, when I went to the Egyptian, my Egyptian neighbor, and I said, I'd like all your wealth, please. What would the Egyptians say? We lost it. It's gone. Okay? Yisrael hayu omrim lahem. The Jews would say, hey, do me a favor, open up that drawer. Third drawer under the socks, please. But otashaya ha'oyu omrim, the mitzvim would say, im hayu elu atzim l'shaker banu, right? If they wanted us to lie to us, hayu notnim otam b'mei choshech. They could have taken it during the darkness and we would never have known. Since they didn't take it, okay, then we're going to give it to them. And the Jews didn't want to steal. We're not looters. We ask for it nicely. But how do we know what to ask for? During the darkness we went in. These are two midrashim. Let's look at Rashi. Vayihi choshech, Rashi and Chafet. Vayihi choshech afeila shloshet yamim. Choshech shel ofel. It was a choshech, a darkness of ofel, of darkness. Shelo ra'uish ish et achiv shlosh damim. They didn't see their brothers for 3 days. V'od shlosh damim achirim choshech muchpal al ze. He says it was then there was another 3 days of double darkness. What? Shelo kamu ish mitachtav. A person did not get up from his tachtav. Yoshev en yachol la'amod. Meaning, literally,
frozen.
It was like thick, dark soup. Okay? When Rashi asks a question like that, that's a very strong thing. Meaning, every other makkah, nobody ever asks, why did God bring the boils? You know why he brought the boils? Because it hurt. Okay? Why bring the choshech? Shayu b'Yisrael b'oto hador rishaim. The Jews of that generation were rishaim. V'lo hayu rotzim latzeit. I just want to point out.
Doesn't it say there were some Jews? There were some people.
There were among Israel of that generation. He doesn't say the word some. They were among them rishaim. V'lo hayu rotzim latzeit. They didn't want to leave. Umeitu b'shloshit yemei afeila. And they died in the 3 days of the thick soup. Kedei shelo yiru mitzrim b'mapalatam. The Egyptians would not see it. V'yamru afhem lokim kavonu. And they would say, so what is Rashi basically doing? Literally quoting the Midrash. Lokim, afflicted, like us. Kamonu, like us. V'od, second shot. Shechivsu Yisrael, the Jews looked. V'ra'u et kileihem, and they saw their kelim, their vessels. U'kishiyatzu, v'ayu sholim eihem, and when they left, they asked them for it. V'ayu amim, ein b'yadenu klum. We ain't got nothing. Omer lo, he says to him, Ani ri'iti bebeitcha, I saw it in your house, and I saw it in the sack drawer. So, have it. Let's have it. This is Rashi, the way Rashi believed this pshat na'amito. So clearly, he thinks this is pshat. He quotes the midrash that he thinks is close to pshat. Just so you know, Tammy, you'll see over here in your chumash here, the midrash is right here, and here's the Rashi. Okay, so you'll see, you can read it in the midrash, very beautiful. They really, beautifully. I recommend again, this midrash set, very much worthwhile. Yeah, very much worthwhile. What?
You're saying there were
6 days? 6 days of darkness, not three. 3 days, just 3 days of darkness. They could move, they just couldn't see.
What was going on?
It was dark.
They
yeah.
Were just frozen.
No, they couldn't see. And then the second 3 days of darkness. You know what I'm saying? What's the purpose of the second 3 days?
Psychological torture.
No, that's not what it says. That's not what it says. What does it say? There were two. I mean, Rashi says explicitly what's the purpose of the darkness. No, the purpose of the darkness was not for the Egyptians. It's for the Jews.
But I don't see why they needed.
No, it doesn't say. And the answer, and that's what I struggle with. It's very nice, the Midrashim and the Rashi is for whatever you want to say, they had to go find the jewelry, or they had to bury the Jews. I actually don't read the Midrash, like I said, I don't read the Midrash as pshat, that the Jews died in the 3 days of the Afela. I find out, I struggle with that. Like, I think Jews, like, stayed in Egypt. And they died out in the darkness of Egypt in the end. Meaning, because what, like, they assimilated, they integrated, they perished as Jews in what we'd call, and what I call metaphorically, the darkness of Egypt. Meaning, what happened to all those Jews that stayed? Let's say 80% didn't die, they just stayed. What happened to them? There's no Jews. They weren't Jews. There was no Jewish people.
Just like in America.
Yeah, it's true.
No true.
What? I mean, right, it all, like, Egypt suffered to such a degree that the identity of Egypt was almost destroyed.
Didn't Egypt all after
the term? I don't know. Starkly, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably. I mean, they were decimated.
It wasn't
country
a
decimated.
Superpower anymore.
Right.
It was still a country.
Yeah. I mean, right. You can imagine, you think the Jews were the only slaves?
The only slave nation?
Yeah, you think the Jews were the only slaves? But I'm sure not. Uh-huh. I'm sure if they left, all the other people left. They had no army, then, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're
no
right.
Leadership. They, right. Everybody wanted to leave. You lost your control. You lost your power. So, but what does that do? Like, how is that? I still left wondering.
That's your baby.
That's mine?
Yeah. I'm not taking it.
Okay. How is that a punishment? Where is the punishment? Where is the... You know what I'm saying? So we have to look a little deeper. And it's there, I think. And I think what you're all saying is true. But It's hidden in the words. Choshech afela. Okay, a very interesting midrash that's not quoted in the Rashi. Because I was looking in the Mefarshim, they don't really address this head on. Like, everybody kind of takes it for granted. Like, that's a punishment, it's dark.
Yeah, why does it bother you so much?
Because it doesn't, doesn't hurt them. Doesn't affect them in any lasting way. Like, that's worse than boils. If I gave you a choice, 3 days of darkness, not knowing, or a week of boils. Pick.
not as sounding too appealing.
Right. You know, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, the dumb, also after the dumb was finished and turned back, they weren't affected, really. I mean, it was over, and then they moved on.
Yeah, but they were
so were they after
Chosh? Of just not knowing?
They didn't know if it was just going to be 3 days. They're sitting in darkness, basically in solitary confinement, unable to move or eat or drink, and all they know, they're going to be like every eternity.
Okay. I'm going to build on that. I agree.
Terrifying.
I agree. Right? He choshech afela. What is this choshech afela? Heichan. The midrash says a very fascinating midrash, and we'll have to divide, understand the midrash. Meheichan haya hachoshech ahu. Where did this darkness come from? What does that mean? Where does darkness come from? We all know what's darkness.
Lack of light.
Lack of light. That's not what the midrash says. Where does the darkness come from? Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya. It's a machloket. What?
Debate.
There's a debate. It was created, the darkness? Correct.
Light and dark.
Very good. Right. Well, we always think, Vayomrahim hi or, Vayihi or. Vayavdel Elohim bein ha or, u bein ha choshech. Only the light was created. the darkness. Right, darkness is an absence. We think of dark. What's a darkness? It's an absence of light. So how could there be two types of darkness? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Michoshech shel mala. Darkness from above. Okay. So now Amar, it says, Yashet choshech sitro, sibivotav sukato. Right, meaning, darkness is the covering of the light from above. That's the darkness that we normally understand. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Michoshech shel gehenem. The darkness of hell. Shneamar, Eretz Eifata, Kimo Ofel Salmavet, Velo Sidarim. I can't translate that exactly if you have your English Tanakh. It's from Eov, Perik Yud Pasuk Chavet. The land it revealed itself a darkness like Ofel Afela Salmavet. What's Salmavet? Shadow of death. Velo Sidarim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Omer, B'mah HaRashayim Mitkasim B'Gehenam. What are the evil, what are the wicked covered in hell? You think it's fire. Wrong. B'choshech. In darkness. Havei Omer, and I say, Choshech, this is the Choshech Sheba Ahamitzrim Mitoch Gehenam Haya. The darkness was not the darkness of the lack of light. It was the darkness of hell. So I ask you, what is the darkness of hell? What is the absence of light that is the darkness of hell? And for this, I turn to a very simple source for a wonderful answer. Unfortunately, I don't have the first source, but everybody knows what it is. And what is it? What am I thinking of? I thought immediately of this. Immediately of this. What's that? Harry Potter. Yeah. but I really mean it.
I didn't learn that in Bisacco.
Okay. Why? What do I mean? I know. Did anybody not read or see Harry Potter with all the children around? You did not? You didn't see it? You didn't read it? You have to read it. Really? It's very dark. It's extremely dark. Okay. In Harry Potter, there are these creatures called Dementors. What are Dementors? They suck the life out of you. How? They take all the happiness. Dementor. I just read to you from the Harry Potter wiki. It is a very important dictionary. Remember, the foulest creatures that walk this earth. They infest the darkest, filthiest places. They glory in decay and despair. They drain peace, hope, and happiness out of the air around them. Get too near a Dementor. Every happy memory will be sucked out of you. If you can, the Dementor will feed on you long enough to reduce you to something like itself, soulless and evil. You will be left with nothing but the worst experiences of your life. I must say, it's brilliant. Brilliant. If you want to know, it's in the third Harry Potter, you can read it. It's brilliant. What is it? What does the Dementor do? It takes away all the good, and it leaves you only with the things that you regret and your despair and your hatred, and your sadness, and your remorse. Does that remind anybody of a place that we think about anytime? That's Gehenna. What is Gehenna? What is hell? Right? Hell is not some place that you go to where you burn. Right? Hell is the world to come in which you look back at your life and you see all the mistakes you made and all the potential that you wasted.
What a waste.
Right. You could have been, but you did not. You should have done, but you did not. And now you will spend an eternity pondering that. Right? And you know what? And that's why I say to people, there's no difference between Olam Haba, Gehenna, and Olam Heaven and Hell. Because Heaven is exactly the opposite. Right? You spend an eternity basking in the glory of the closeness to the Ribono Shel Olam that you enjoy, that you worked on in this world. Benefiting from the closeness that you established in this world, in this life. Gehenna is exactly the opposite. You spend a world, you spend an eternity distance from God and knowing that you could have been closer. Ouch.
Basically the same thing.
Same thing.
Clarity.
Right. It's exactly the same thing. You don't go anywhere.
Enhancement of what you already
have. Yeah. Well, and the eternal pondering of what could have been or what was. So, by the way, there is no tzaddik that's getting perfect close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You get close, you try to get close. But there's always going to be that remorse of the time we wasted and the opportunities that we squandered and all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? According to the Midrash, and I think it's stronger, is this the way the direction you were going? The Choshech, the darkness, is not just a darkness, a lack of light. It's a darkness, a Choshech Afela, right? There's two parts. One is the physical darkness, Lo Ra'u Ish Et Achiv. And the second is, V'lo Kamu Ish Mitachtav Shloshet Yamim. And they couldn't get up. Why couldn't they get up? It's not that the darkness was physical. Has anybody been ever so depressed that you don't want to get up? So thank God we've never been so depressed that we can't get up. But imagine that. A darkness so powerful, so overwhelming, so overarching, that you physically cannot move. What is the point? And they didn't eat, and they didn't sleep, not because they couldn't, but because they didn't. Like, you know, as anybody's ever experienced a period of that darkness, the last thing you want to do is eat.
It's like being in mourning.
When the necklace lifted, why didn't they do the sugar?
What?
They were basically given a second chance. When the darkness lifted, and then suddenly...
So now I ask you, if you've ever experienced it, what would you take? Would you take lice? Would you take boils? Or would you take that?
Anything but that.
I see people nodding. People who've ever experienced that, you'll take anything but that. It is hell on earth, literally, to have that feeling. That feeling of just darkness, of despair.
It makes perfect sense. Why couldn't they move? Why couldn't...
It's really... Yeah. It's like
it's
brilliant.
What? Because it's stability.
It's, right. It's very powerful.
What? Huh?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And now we understand a little bit, like, why is Paro so on edge now? Go. And Moshe's like, no. He said, I'm letting you go, go! You know what I'm saying? Like, why do we see that? You might also, if you just had lifted out of this week of debilitating despair, that nobody, like, you wake up and everybody's waking up and nobody moved. Nobody moved. You know what I'm saying? And it also explains a little bit further, right? The next thing, like, Vayitken Hashem et Chim Ha'am Be'enei Mitzrayim. And immediately afterwards, we see the Egyptians start looking at all the Jews in a different light. You know what I'm saying? The whole country is paralyzed.
It is quite similar to how they looked in that for 6 days you sit on you, and the seventh day I'll show you.
Yeah, without a doubt. But although Avelud is not about depression. Avelud is about withdrawing from the world. I would say you have to distinguish. It's possible for a person to become depressed. But you're talking about such a darkness. And I'll give it to you from a few different perspectives. When Avraham Avinu, Rina, you quoted that Avraham Avinu, the Cheshecha Gdola, right? It says there, the language is extremely interesting at the Brit Bein HaBetarim. Okay? At the Brit Bein HaBetarim, it says the following. I got to find it. Okay. Page before. Thank you. Here we are. It says, Vayihi Hashemesh Lavo, the sun began to set, v'tardema nafla al Avraham, and a tardema, a deep sleep, fell over Avraham, v'hine eima chashecha gdola nofelet alav. A darkness, but what's eima?
Fear.
A fear and a darkness falls upon Avraham. It's so powerful. When the dark falls, it's not dark, physical dark. Avraham becomes afraid, and what does he find out right then? He knows something is wrong. He's becoming depressed in a sense. And God says, God tells Abraham 400 years in exile. Bad. And it weighs on Abraham. It's heavy on Abraham. It weighs him down. And this context of choshech, chashecha gdola, this darkness is not a physical darkness. It's a spiritual darkness. It's an emotional darkness. Yeah.
I have a question on that.
Sorry, just before you go. In Judaism, darkness is not the absence of light. It can also be the power of a force of destruction, a destructive force, a darkness. How do I know? Yeah, you want to ask a question? Then I'll get back to someone and we'll wrap up with it. Yeah?
Just maybe depression causes you to have a lack of, you cannot connect with God.
Ah.
But over there, so that doesn't really make sense.
You mean in Egypt?
No, with Avram, you said there was a darkness, and then Hashem spoke to him.
He felt the distancing from God. That's exactly the point. What is darkness? What is lack of light? It's not the lack of physical light. It's the lack of spiritual light. Right. What is the darkness? The darkness is the darkness of hell is a distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
But then he spoke to Hashem.
Then God came to him. He felt the distancing. He was afraid. And then God came to him and said, Yadu Ateda. God appeared to him right after that.
He stopped the darkness.
Yeah. It's right there. We mention this every single day.
Every night.
Every day and every night. Why do we mention it? Brechot HaShachar. Yeah, Brechot HaShirah. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Yotzer Or Ubore Choshech Oseh Shalom Ubore Et Hakol. Anybody know that that's really not an accurate quote? We don't say it, but okay, and they say, why do we bless the rising of the sun every day? Really? Like, why is this so important in Jewish life? Every day, this is the Brachot Kriyat Shema. Brachot Hashem Yotzer HaMe'orot. There's the Or, the light, and the Choshech. So this actually is a paraphrase. The Chazal took this from a pasuk in Yishayahu. Yishayahu says, he's quoting God. Lama ani Hashem, I'm God. Ve'en od, zulati en Elohim. Without me, there is no other God. A'azreka v'lo yedatani. I helped you, you did not know. Laman yedu, so that you will know me, Mizrach Shemesh umi Ma'arava, from the east to the west, ki efes bil adi ani Hashem ve'en od. I am God, there is no other. Yotzer or, ubore choshech. He who creates, fashions light, creates darkness. Oseh shalom, ubore ra. He who makes peace and creates evil. Yes. Yaseh or, ubore choshech, oseh shalom. Chazal didn't want to say bore ra. Bore et hakol. But hakol is ra, evil. And the opposite of light, the opposite of godliness, the opposite of or, is ra, is darkness, is choshech, is evil, is negativity. And the end of the parsha of Kriyat Shema, we say, Or chadash al tzion ta'ir, you should light a new light on Zion, v'nizkeh kulanu mehera le'oro. We should all merit, all of us, his eternal light. What do we want? We don't want light. What do we want? The light represents a closeness to God. We want the new light. We want the eternal light. We want the light that doesn't represent a new sun. We want a light that represents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is returned to the world. So if light is the closeness to God, what is choshech? What makes a person depressed? Absence of God. When a person senses to the depth of his soul that he's distanced in absence of God, he begins to despair. He begins to feel like, what is the purpose of all this? It's hard to get out of bed in the morning. You know, and I was thinking about this today, just in light of this. It's such a powerful bracha. Yotzer or uvare choshech ha-me'ir la'aretz, that every morning the sun returns, the sun rises. I.e., not just in the physical sense, in the sense of the light, but yotzer or in the sense of the creation of the closeness to God. And it's such a beautiful idea. It's a very powerful idea that we are responsible and we are obligated to see that light, to feel that sense, that especially in light of the understanding of what the Makat Choshech was, right? That we're supposed to feel that or that sense. I want to finish off with another quote from one of my favorite Mr. books. I mentioned this before, right? C.S. Lewis? So he says the following. He's writing to his charge. And the guy apparently, he's fallen off the wagon to a large degree. Okay? Let me see. Okay, one second. Humans are amphibians, half spirit and half animal. As spiritual, they belong to the eternal world, but as animals, they inhabit time. This means that while their spirit can be directed to an eternal object, their bodies, passions, and imaginations are in continual change. For to be in time means to change. Their nearest approach to constancy, this is very meaningful to me, therefore is undulation. Anybody know what undulation means? Undulation? Undulation is wave. Undulation. A friend of mine, I read this to him once, he said, yeah, they talk about the undulating hills on the golf course. Undulation. The repeated return to a level from which they repeatedly fall back, a series of troughs and peaks. If you watch your patient carefully, you would have seen this undulation in every department of his life. His interest in his work, his affection for his friends, his physical appetites all go up and down. As long as he lives on earth, period of emotional richness and bodily richness and liveliness will alternate with periods of numbness and poverty. The dryness and dullness to which your patient is now giving are not, as you suppose, your workmanship. They're merely a natural phenomenon which do us no good and make you, unless you make use of it. He goes on to say, he says, the times you come closest to God, okay, are when? Not when you have spiritual highs. The times that you come closest to God is when you feel the choshech. Yotzer or ubara choshech. Because it's easy to feel God when you have the natural spiritual high. The question is, when you don't feel it, do you get out of bed and you daven anyway? That is where the traps come in. You have often wondered why the enemy does not make more sense of his power to be present to human beings. But now you see that the irresistible and indisputable are the two weapons which the very nature of his scheme forbids him to use. Merely to override a human will would be for him useless. He cannot ravish. He can only woo. Okay? Meaning what? He wants us to find him when we don't see him. And I think this is very meaningful when we talk about the Or and the Choshech and the Choshech of the Mitzrayim. God distanced himself. He distanced himself so totally from the Mitzrayim that they didn't even want to get up in the morning. And we all feel, I think, everybody, every one of us, you feel, sometimes you feel energy and power and passion, and sometimes you just don't. And our task and our job is, when you feel the Choshech, to get up in the morning and to do it anyway. And to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu until the light returns, because it does. And that's really Avodas Hashem. And that's when real growth happens. It's a very powerful lesson for, and I think about this sometimes. When you're aware of it, it's very powerful, because when you're aware of it, sometimes you feel this energy and I'm so excited. I've got all these ideas. I'm going to start this committee and do this program, and it's great. And sometimes you say to yourself, I don't feel like doing anything, and every idea is a bad idea, and nothing ever seems to work. And it's at that time that you say, but fine, I'm not going to start anything new right now, but I'm going to follow through and do the things that I've always been doing. Maintaining our stability during the troughs is the most powerful symbol of growth you can possibly have. We'll stop here.